Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to the Big Honker Podcast. It is always a lot of fun to do these, and we appreciate everybody that listens to our debauchery. And we appreciate Tony fucking just coughing in the background. Spreading that COVID. Harry coughing in the background. No respect. No respect to our personal bubble, Jeff.
Right here at Studio A at the Big Honker Podcast, brought to you by Shin Gear Waiters. Folks, if you're going to buy you some waiters, you're going to buy waiters every single year. There's guys on here listening right now that buy a pair of waiters every year.
And they dread it every year. Yep. Oh, damn, I wish somebody would come out and make a good pair of waiters.
So you got to call waiters, but you got to pay a little bit for them, but they got a lifetime guarantee. So look up Shin Gear Waiters, and they have waiters in stock right now. Holler at them at shingear.com.
Shingear.com. They're built out of nylon. And like Jeff said, they got a promise that they will stand behind their waiters for as long as you'll stand in them. So check them out at shingear.com, and you better hurry because supplies are limited. So if you want a pair of the best waiters on the market, go check them out. We're also brought to you by Bangtail Whiskey. Enjoy a traditional corn mash whiskey, aged in charged new American oak barrels. You'll find a pleasant aroma of vanilla spice before galloping in a note of nougat, sweet corn, and a lingering caramel finish. Built on a dream, aged 25 years, handcrafted Bangtail whiskey will create the perfect sip no matter how you drink your whiskey.
Other than all that fancy shit, does it taste good, Andy?
It is very good. There I do my go. Whiskey sours out of it. You can drink it straight, however you want to do it. Bangtail whiskey is the way to go. They can even ship it to you. You go to bangtail.com, and it will go right to your door. Bangtail.com. We're also brought to you by Pacific Calls, the boys up in Spokompton.
Trevor and Alex.
You'll never meet two better guys in the waterfowl industry.
Good people. I mean, good product.
Seriously. You can call them up at any time. Tell them what you're looking for. They're incredibly knowledgeable. Kind of about, you know, they can talk to you about maybe your skill set, and they can find a call that is best for you. The PCD is still one of the best duck calls that's on the market right now, and I like their 206. It's what I use for lessers. And you need to check them out at pacificcustomcalls.com, or you can call them however you want to get a hold of them, and they can find you a call that will work best for you. They're actually making Reese his first goose and duck call.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
So that's going to be here for his birthday. Talked to Trevor, and he said absolutely we'd be happy to do it.
That is awesome.
You will not meet a better group of guys. So check them out, pacificcustomcalls.com. We're also brought to you by Boss Shot Shells. Listen, the shortage is real. If you want shotgun shells for this coming waterfowl season, you better order them now. And if you're a snow goose hunter that hunts in February, you definitely need stuff in the closet tucked away. Boss Shot Shells, all American-made products, shipped straight to your door, and it hits like a freight train. Bismuth is the way to go.
Another group of great guys, American-made, American craftsmen, Boss Shot Shells.
That's at BossShotShells.com. We're also brought to you by Dirty Duck Coffee. If your coffee sucks, it ain't the duck. It's how we start our morning out here at the Big Honker Lodge every single morning. Made here in the great state of Texas. They've got a blend for you no matter what you like, whether you're a high-caffeine kind of guy or a mid-roast, whatever. They've got a blend for you. DirtyDuckCoffee.com, and you can pick what you want, and it'll go right to you. They've also got incredible-looking swag. I like their shirts. DirtyDuckCoffee.com has got the best way. And they've also got a sampler pack, so you can get all their blends shipped straight to your door. We're also brought to you by Lucky Duck. The tops for those 2x4 blinds.
Game changer.
Might be the best invention that they've ever come up with.
My grand dog is going to be riding around in comfort with a brand new crate, extra large crate for his extra large big ass.
Yep.
A pad in there.
And a fan.
And I think we're working on getting him a flat screen TV so he can watch Scooby-Doo on his way to the hunts every morning.
Lucky Duck is working on the technology right now. But yes, if you've got a plus size dog like my big boy Lou, they now have a 5-star crash test rated dog kennel that you can safely put your dog in and not have to worry about him, you know, if something bad happens on the road. Listen, hunting season, roads get icy. You want to protect your buddy? Put that big ass pad back there. Also, if you need a spinner, a A-frame blind, they're the way to go. And now, if you're a crane hunter, you can put those tops on the 2x4 blind and don't have to worry about the cranes seeing the boogeyman in there. So I would check them out at luckyduck.com. We're also brought to you by Dive Bomb Industries, the leader in silhouette manufacturing. Great guys there, too. That is one thing about our sponsors is every one of them is top-notch people, and they go out of their way for their customers. Dive Bomb.
Except for the fat bastard at Stanfield Hunting.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a dick. You're talking about Tony.
Yep.
Dive Bomb Industry, if you need silhouettes, they are the way to go. As always, you want to get the bag so that they pack up nice and neat, and you can stay organized during hunting season. It does not matter what you're chasing. They have got a decoy for you, whether it is Canada geese, specks, snows, ducks. They've got Canada floater line that they're really excited about. They're also coming out with the kickstand. Be looking for it whenever they say that they've got some in stock. If you want it, you better jump on it.
Guys, if you're hunting a pond, southwest Oklahoma, northern Nebraska, wherever, you're hunting on a stock pond, take, and you got a bank you're going to hunt on, take you two dozen of those duck silhouettes and stick them on there. It makes your spread look so completely different. I'm telling you, the colors pop on them. It's a game changer. It's an inexpensive way to add your spread to kill a lot of ducks. So look up at divebombindustries.com.
That's the way to go. We're also brought to you by Gundog Outdoors. Listen, they've got a couple products that I think everybody should need. If you're a waterfowl hunter and you got a dog that likes to, you know, go when the shot is called, you need the quick release system. It's a patented, which means it's extra fancy. You clip it onto your dog's collar and it's got a leash on it. That dog does not go anywhere until you let him. You just pull the little quick release and away he goes. It's super simple to use. This cheap and effective quick release system can be the difference between life and death. So I would highly recommend, all it takes is one. So every dog, I think, as a safety measure, you could use it. They've also got their field trauma kit. Hunting is a dangerous sport. Just every day you can cut yourself on a knife. It doesn't matter. They have tools in this field trauma kit that I think every hunter should have in their blind bag and in their pickup truck because, it's just the nature of the beast. Plus, Alex Langbell, he's a super great guy, and he's taken a lot of time to kind of figure out what they needed in this field trauma kit, and he had to figure out a way to make this quick release system work, and they both work. So check them out at Gundog Outdoors and take care of that four-legged friend of yours. We're also brought to you by the Looking Glass Duck Club podcast. You put enough pressure on them, they are back going. You go to Patreon and you become a cult member, and you can listen to all of their podcasts. Their entire library is up on Patreon. The bourbon reviews are free to anybody, so if you just want to listen to the bourbon review, that's free. That's about 20 minutes, and it's free to everybody. But if you want to get to the meat and potatoes of things, donate to their Patreon account, and then you can listen to Logan and Rebel talk a bunch of shit. They're a lot of fun to listen to, and they're great guys. So check them out at the Looking Glass Duck Club podcast. We're also brought to you by Goose Creek Retrievers, Mr. Matt Peel. He is touring the world. Got hunt tests all over, and I think he's
stacking up them ribbons.
Just ribbons galore for Mr. Matt Peel. He's a great guy, incredibly knowledgeable about training labs and hunting dogs, and it's a lot of fun. You should definitely follow him on Instagram, Goose Creek Retrievers. And if you have any questions or if you've got a dog that you want to send off and have Matt train it, professionally trained, check him out. I'm sure he'll be more than happy to.
From a started to a finished dog, he can take care of it all.
Whatever you need. He's a one-stop shop. That's at Goose Creek Retrievers. We're also brought to you by EyeSight Drones. It's the way to go now. Technology is just taking over. Don't guess what your crop's going to look like. Don't guess where your water's going to come from. Have them come fly your property. They can do animal counts. Takes the guesswork out of everything.
It's 2021. Get with the times.
Get with the times, people. The use for drones is endless, and they're going to be a part of society whether we like it or not for here on out, and it will save you a lot of steps. And like I said, if you've got a question about your property, your duck hole coming up for this waterfowl season, contact them, and they can fly it and give you a survey of what it looks like. That's at eyesightdrones.com. Last but not least, we're brought to you by Stanfield Hunting Outfitters. We've made it through most of dove season, a lot of dove season.
Half of dove season's over. Folks, if you want to shoot some ducks, holler at me. We have some prime Oklahoma dates left. Yes, I'm pushing this. This is new for us on the duck hunt. No, not new for us to shoot ducks, but we're really, really pushing on the ducks. Do a lot more duck hunting. So holler at us in Oklahoma to shoot ducks. We still got cranes and geese in Texas left. But if you want to shoot some ducks, and shoot something besides ringnecks and redheads wherever you're hunting and you want to shoot some puddle ducks, holler at us for Oklahoma Hunts. I've got a few dates left in December, and I got some January dates still left. But that's at stanfieldhunting.com, or call me, and I will answer the phone myself, 940-658-3172.
You're going to feel like a real dickhead if they shoot a bunch of ringnecks that day.
Well, I will, but I'll blame it on you.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this episode of the podcast, it is just Jeff and I, and I don't even remember what all we talk about. But we hope you enjoy it.
Sponsor this week.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Boom, and welcome to the Big Honker Podcast, brought to you by Boss Shot Shells. I am the legendary Jeff Stanfield with the world-famous Andy Shaver. How are you doing today, Andy?
Excellent. Just got our pick 'em out of the way. Of course, this is coming out next week.
This will be out on Monday, I believe.
So,
trying to get all our stuff done. Andy's a world traveler now. He's going on big vacation.
That's right.
To the famous island of St. Lucia.
10-year anniversary trip. Long time.
That's 70 years in dog years you've been married.
That is. I feel it, too.
You and Jesse have been together now 17 years?
Is that right? Sure.
How old are you?
33.
And you started dating her when you were 16 years old.
I was 17, I thought.
No, you were 16.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Long fucking time.
That's pretty cool, though.
10 years of marriage. We haven't killed each other yet, so we're going to go scuba diving and hopefully not get left.
And two wonderful children.
Yeah.
If something happens to y'all, where are the boys going?
I don't know. I guess y'all figure that shit out in court.
You haven't, like, written that up or anything?
No.
You should do that.
Nothing's going to happen to us, Jeff.
Well, if something would, though. Me and Mom would raise them. You don't like that idea, do you?
That's a big ask.
No, it's not. They're our grandkids. We would do it in a heartbeat.
Might send them to a foster home.
No, I'd fight that shit in a heartbeat. Those boys could come live with us. That's where they would end up.
We could send them to Zach.
They'd be better off with us. We didn't do so good with Zach.
I don't know.
You don't trust me and your mom?
Zach's got youth on his side. Something came across my...
So you don't think...
I didn't say that.
Well, it kind of sounds... Well, get your mom in here in a minute. Michelle! Come here! Come here for just a second. This is very important. Come here. Very important. This is about your grandkids. No, come here. Come here a minute. No, seriously, come here and sit down for a minute.
Yeah, there's no cameras on. Just okay. Tell her what
you know. What
say.
You know? What I asked Andy if something happened to him and Jesse on their trip, what would happen to the boys?
Zach.
Foster home or Zach? Where would them boys end up at? That's at our house.
We could give him the pain.
Fuck, he'd give him back. He'd go find y'all.
Pain is single. Pain is getting a lot of money from the government. He's got money for motorcycles. He can raise two kids if something happens to us.
Those boys end up on South 3rd Street.
Well, it'd be Payne's decision.
Well, Payne would do that. Could you imagine?
They make
Payne get that letter from the court. Congratulations, you have two young boys now.
Yeah, there was a movie about it where they just... She got her sister's
kids. I think I've ever met
them before. Yep. Payne would have to get over his phobia of handling kids real quick. Listen, they're both potty trained, so like Payne's getting like a started dog.
A started dog. He's getting a set of them.
He's getting two started dogs. Like there's nothing else that you could hope for.
Those kids would be gamers then.
You can make a lot of money doing that.
Yeah.
Speaking of trips gone wrong... Gabby Patino.
Oof.
What a mess. Do you think that kid's... I think he's dead.
I think he killed himself, too. He's a chicken shit.
I think he offed himself.
I kept seeing stuff on it, and so I kept avoiding it because I don't want to read about all that shit. I knew what was going to happen anyways. You don't just disappear.
No. Not in today's world.
No, and so I knew she was going to be dead somewhere.
And she was like... She was a... she tracked her every move. Like, she was a vlogger, I think, a YouTuber. Like, you know, Instagram, she's wanting to be Insta-famous. So, like, she was tracking her every move. Have you seen the police video?
No, where she's talking about it and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. The police officer's in a horrible situation on that, because if they detain him, then it's his civil rights. This is going to sound absolutely horrible to anybody that's got a daughter, and I'm not trying to come across that way. But I read these people all the time that say, you need to teach your daughter, if she's in an aggressive relationship or a dangerous relationship, that she needs to get out. And I think that's right. And then someone else says, well, you need to teach your kids not to treat women that way. I agree with you 100% on that, too. I'm not taking sides on either side. But if you've got a daughter and she's getting hit by her boyfriend,
yeah,
it ain't going to stop until someone fucking kills that little bastard. And if she was in this horrible relationship with this guy, she should have never went with him on vacation. Now, do not go to a fucking national park anyways.
Why?
That's serial killer heaven right
there.
You've
been to a national park.
I went with your mom and your brother. I wasn't worried about when them fuckers killing me.
Why?
Because I'm the one that pays all the bills.
Listen.
No. But if you're in an abusive relationship, a girl, and she goes with this guy, and he goes, let's go camping out at Yosemite. Or let's go to. Don't fucking do it. It's a trick. He's going to kill you. You know how many people are missing in national parks?
How many?
Tons. Over the years, hundreds. Probably 1,000 people or more are missing from national parks. They go into the woods, nobody ever sees them again. That's because somebody fucking chops them up and a bear eats them.
Now, hold, I'm trying to look this up. Somebody was telling me that there was another couple that was at this same park that were murdered.
Oh, I don't know.
Michelle!
She don't know.
She does too. She's been following this. Mom! Meatloaf! there was a murder in the same park that Gabby Petito was found, right? There was another couple.
I told you she don't know. I told you she wouldn't know. I don't know.
But they, so I'm going to look it up real quick. But hold on.
There's murders at national parks all the time.
But what they said was, we were at this campground and there was this creepy guy and he kept stalking our campground. And it's the same place that they found this couple. And then they found.
You sound like her attorney,
Gabby Petito.
I mean, you sound like that guy's attorney is what he's going to be saying.
Well, I'm maybe he was the creepy guy. Maybe he knew how to get rid of the body, and that's why he wanted to take her out to where'd they go? Yosemite.
I think they were in the Grand Tetons.
The Grand Tetops. Moonflower coworker speaks out on eerie connection between Gabby Petito and double murder of couple. Okay, here we go. Let's read this.
There are 29 cases of 29 cold cases of people missing in National Park right now, dating far back as the 50s.
That's I watched that Ted Bundy thing. He that was one of his favorite places.
I just tried to tell you that.
Okay, here we go. Missing YouTuber Gabby Petito had a violent argument with her boyfriend Brian Laundry outside of Utah. Blah 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 blah. The eerie coincidence between the disappearance of Miss Petito and the murders of Kylan Schultz and Crystal Turner. Boy, she was a fucking 38 and 24. Good for her. Has residents left on the small town.
So you're really going to try to call her out as a cougar after she's been murdered?
We don't know if she's been murdered.
It just said she is.
Disappearance.
No, disappearance of Miss Petito and the murders of. Oh. Well, you don't read nothing.
Well, I skim, Jeff.
I understand. Skim. And you skip over all the details.
I skim the wrong shit.
Maybe that kid killed them, too.
We're definitely still grieving. Well, as Ms. King says, it's strange and no. Huh.
Maybe he killed her and the mother, too.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I was saying all along.
Should
the cops have. So, I was watching The Five yesterday. Oof. And Judge. What's the judge?
Judge
Perina.
Perina, or the lady, whatever her name is. Judge. I know who you're talking about.
Perino?
No, that's not it.
That's Dana.
It's Perino. Judge, I'm going to say Judge Judy, but that's not it. Judge, whatever it is.
It doesn't matter.
The Hispanic,
yes.
Cuban lady, whatever
been,
she is.
Been a judge since the 70s.
Yes.
She said that there are the rules in Arizona, as in the rules in most states, is you find the aggressor and you lock him up for a night.
That's right.
They did not do that. The police didn't. They told him to separate. You go to a hotel room, you go to a hotel room.
A lot of times they do that because they feel like that it's not that dangerous.
But I guess from what...
See, a cop's in a no-win situation.
From what I've gathered, after they told them to separate, they did not, and that's when the murder took place.
Whatever happened.
Had one of them been locked up, they would have cooled off enough, and she might still be alive.
If he was a big enough douchebag to kill her, he was going to kill her eventually, probably.
Well, I don't disagree with that either.
But they don't even know if he got killed. She got killed that night,
right?
They don't know what happened to her,
and that's what's going to be the sad part. Is if he did off himself, we'll never know what happened.
Nope.
Like, was it just an argument gone bad that, you know, led to all this?
Well, it was damn sure that, for sure. I don't understand why people go with people they don't trust or fight into a national park still. I'm still telling you that. There's something about bear urine and fucking psychopaths that fucking makes them go off hinge. I mean, it happens all the time. You can look up. There's a black kid missing right now. He's been missing for 2 months now from a national park.
And that's another
and
thing.
And then he's not getting no attention at all on him. And then the fucking goofy bitch that works at fucking MSNBC. What's her name? Joy Reid.
Out
and said that we overreact to a white girl missing. What a fucking piece of shit.
Joy Reid calls out missing white woman syndrome.
She is a miserable bitch. She is a miserable bitch. I watch her every day, and she
you watch her every day.
No. Let me rephrase that. I've never watched that bitch. Oh. I see her shit every day, and every day on Twitter, someone's pointing out something that she said. Their fucking ratings in MSNBC must suck, anyways. I can't imagine keeping that cunt on their fucking radio or TV. It blows my mind. Racist bitch. I'm telling you, her and fucking Al Sharpton should have an affair and have some little fucking racist kids.
Some racist kids.
You know that's the way they're going to be. They fucking hate white people for no reason. You know, Al Sharpton especially. A fucking raisin head. Can't stand that guy.
Jeff, I lost all respect for you. You saw him at an airport. You could have walked right up to him and told him what you thought of him.
I did say something to him.
What did you say?
I told
him. You didn't say it.
Let me finish. I did too. I said to the girl in your class that was fucking drooling all over his ass, he's going to be president. I said, he ain't going to be a fucking president. I said, he ain't even shit. I said, Jesse Jackson rides on a private jet. That fucker's flying fucking on a plane just like we are.
He's flying coach.
And he didn't like that shit, and he walked off. So I did say something to that fat fucker.
In your defense, he wasn't as big a scumball then.
Oh, he was. Not just because he didn't know about it as much.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something to him if I see him.
If you see him now.
Just like when Beto O'Rourke was in Benjamin buying gas and everybody in Knox City called, wanted me to come up there, and I had hunters and I couldn't leave.
Mm-hmm.
I would have said something to his ass too. I would have. I'd have said, listen, you're a rich, fucking drunk, DWI getting white guy.
Is that a DWI?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
He's a piece of shit. Not because he got DWI. There's a lot of good people at DWIs. He's just a piece of shit. He's another one. He's announced he's running for governor of Texas. Holy hell, that's what we need here is another fucking white guy that's down with the poor black people. Never understand how rich white people think that they... Nancy Pelosi, she don't know shit about the fucking ghetto.
Just when she's driving through.
In fact, she don't even drive through. She don't drive. She has a driver. Did you see the fucking Emmys? I know you didn't watch the Emmys no more than I watched the Emmys. What was their ratings? Were they down? Were they fucking rock bottom?
I'm sure. I'm trying to find out about this double murder. Okay, here we go. They said they needed to move their campsite because of some creepy guy at their campsite. These are outdoor girls. Oh, they were lesbians. These were outdoor girls and confident, and for somebody to make them feel uncomfortable, it had to be valid discomfort.
Maybe he wanted a menage a trois.
The ominous final text. Oh, that's from Petito. Sent from her phone August 30th, reads, no signal in Yosemite, but her family have raised doubts about whether Petito sent it herself.
Okay, let's talk about this for a minute. First of all, the lesbians were nervous, right?
About a creepy guy at their campsite.
Dude. Okay, well, they don't like dudes anyways, probably. But right. I'm not taking what's happened to them is horrible. But you're at a fucking national park, and there's a dude by himself walking through the fucking eating fucking granola by himself. Don't you find that most of those guys are fucking creepy?
Unsealed warrant filed in court this week said the newlywed couple, so they were a married lesbian couple, were found by a friend partially undressed by a nearby creek with multiple gunshot wounds August 18th. And then a week later, Is that the same, like August 18th, 2021?
Yeah, they were found on the 18th, and the Petito...
6 days later
was last seen checking out at a hotel.
Fuck.
And you know what's funny is the headlines always say, and it was just 3 blocks from the FBI office. Well, fuck, they didn't know. They think they're going to go fucking hotel to hotel?
What do you want me to do?
Checking on people?
Yeah. Well, are you thinking the Emmys or the VMAs?
It was the Emmys. And I know their ratings were fucking down, but they showed all the people there were not wearing any of their fucking.
Of course not.
They don't wear masks, and they
just
said,
like,
well,
Alexandria,
because they're celebrities.
Costa Cortez or whatever.
Then that bitch goes to the gala or whatever the fuck it is, and it showed the fucking all the people working there standing around all had masks on, and all the celebrities didn't. Talking about some fucking slavery type shit.
Emmy ratings are up 16%, 7.4 million viewers.
7 million people will do it. We have almost that many fucking viewers on our shit, so fuck the Emmys. 7 million people. I'll bet you that fucking that's probably higher than the NBA game, but that ain't nowhere close to a football game. First of all, if any of you people listening to this watch the Emmys, fucking turn our shit off, please, because you're an embarrassment to the Big Honker Podcast.
Well, that's ugly.
There's nothing on the who do you did you watch the Emmys?
I did not, but
do you know he make about won the Emmys?
No. But I've never been into that shit.
No.
Okay. Emmys over the past 21 million people watched the broadcast in 2000. 21 million.
Okay. In 1986, 35 million.
Right.
So they're rock bottom now. 7 million people. Then nobody gives a shit. Nobody cares about fucking Hollywood anymore. When's the last time you've been to a theater? Now, we've had COVID, but when is the last time you actually went into a movie? Was it when we took the grandkids
Halloween.
And we met
yeah,
you on
we watched,
Lubbock?
No. We watched Halloween, and you took Dylan and Reese to watch Smallfoot. We all watched Michael Myers.
When was that? Was it last Halloween or two Halloweens ago?
Two Halloweens ago.
That was the last time we did the movies.
Mm-hmm. So, that was it.
Yeah, little fuckers cost me $100 in snacks probably.
Because, I mean, that would have been October of 19.
Okay.
And then everything shut down after hunting season.
Okay, and we are the family that spends money and goes does stuff like most of the people that listen to this do. Middle class people, which make the world go round, and we don't go to movies no more.
No, they stream on your.
But
you can get
how many movies have you watched? Have you paid for lately?
I don't think they did any new movies last year.
Oh, there's been some new shit out.
Not really that I'd want to see. I want to see the Saints of Newark.
I do too, and I'm going to be watching that some bitch because I'm a big Sopranos fan. And that's his son that replaced him.
Yeah, I'm going to get HBO Max just for that. I want to see that.
Hold on, now. This is groundbreaking.
Listen, I'm going to cancel right after that.
Oh, I thought you was going to use your brother's since we have it at our house.
Well,
it says freeloaders. You can just come to our house and watch it.
I would ask, but you know.
Oh, Payne would let you. I'm sure.
No, he gets pissy.
He does not either.
He kind of looks down on you when you mooch his stuff.
He don't mooch mine, or he mooches mine. And he don't think nothing of it.
So I want to watch that, okay. And then I'm a Michael Myers guy. You know, it's Halloween. I'd like to see that.
They have a new one coming out.
Oh yeah, they got two more coming out. Halloween Kills comes out in October, and then Halloween Ends comes out next year.
And that's gonna be the last one.
Well,
they say that until they want to get paid again.
You know, it's cheap entertainment.
How many fucking Halloweens have they had?
So there's different timelines that you can. They've had a lot.
Okay.
But it all depends. So, like, this one, you're supposed to not remember anything past the second Halloween, like in 1982.
So I'd be perfect, because last time I watched them, Jamie Lee Curtis's titties were pulled out.
They didn't pull her titties
out. Sure, she's topless in that.
No, it's not. It's not her.
Huh? Her tits were also in...
I'm not saying that her tits have never been out. I'm saying her tits... It's probably Trading Places.
Trading Places, her tits.
Her tits were not out in Halloween.
How do you know?
Because she was the virgin in Halloween.
Look it up.
I'm going to look it up. Her tits were not out.
I think they were. She got a nice rack, too.
Well, it was.
Is Jamie Lee Curtis a hermaphrodite?
That's what they always said. You never had heard that?
No, I don't really care either. She got nice tits.
Well,
he's got nice tits.
Hollywood myth.
She's not.
You don't think so?
No.
From salacious to downright nasty, Hollywood has been the source. Anyway, that's what I'd always heard. She was a hermaphrodite.
She was sexy in that fifth picture up top right there. No, up.
Well, I'm looking more about the hermaphrodite.
I don't really care if she's a hermaphrodite.
Do
she's
you
not
think that our listeners want to know if she's a hermaphrodite?
Nobody thinks she's a hermaphrodite. If they've seen True Lies, they know she's not a hermaphrodite.
How do you know?
Because I saw her dancing that little lingerie.
Well, they do a lot of trick camera work.
They did a lot for that. Well, I guess they can make Michelle Obama look like a woman. Well, she don't look like a woman ever, though. Jamie Lee Curtis looks like a woman if she is. Big Mac don't. Anyways.
I don't know.
She's topless in Halloween, I'm pretty sure.
No, she's not. Jeff, I've seen that fucking movie so many times I can't even count.
See that fifth picture of her? She's hot there.
Fifth?
Yeah, the one next to it.
Yeah, I don't think so. No, all those are probably fake, but she is a liberal.
Oh, she's a fucking goofy whack job bitch.
Big time liberal. Is Jamie Lee Curtis topless in Halloween?
Oh, you better not be putting this on.
It's not.
Well, maybe she wasn't then.
I told you.
But we just saw her naked.
In Trading Places.
Yeah, there was. Well, one of them was completely naked, but I think that's probably a fake one.
Probably a fake
Anyways,
one.
I thought she was naked in Halloween. I think there's. No. I thought there was somebody naked in there. All the movies in the 80s always have somebody naked before they get killed.
Yes.
I'm telling you right now.
If so
you,
otherwise, if, had she gotten naked, she would have been killed.
If you were invited to come on a horror movie in the 80s and you were black, your ass was going to die.
Yes.
Every black person got killed.
Nobody.
And if you're a woman and they say you're going to have to show your titties, you're going to get killed too.
Yes.
If the bitch don't have to show her titties, she was going to survive.
Yes. Which means Jamie Lee Curtis is the virgin in Halloween, which is the only reason that she survives. If you give up your V card, good luck to you.
So when was the first Halloween made?
1978.
Wow.
They were so broke they had to use the same leaves. They filmed in California and they got, I guess they went to like Hobby Lobby or something, got a bunch of fall leaves. They would spread them out, do the scene, and pray to God that the wind doesn't fucking blow.
Because
they had to gather them all up for the next scene.
Well, that's right. You only got to see one set of titties. They couldn't afford two of them.
They couldn't afford two sets of titties. That caught you back in the day. But anyway.
1978. I'll be a son of a bitch.
Yeah, 1978. And then
I was 10 years old, so I did not see it until I was probably about 12 or 14 then probably. We got cable TV when I was about 12, and I probably saw it then. Or 1981, I saw one. Gosh, it might have been around forever. That's like Friday the 13th. I remember the Friday the 13th was one. That was it.
Right.
What are they, like, year 27 now?
I don't know if they're remaking those as much there. So here we go. Here's the 2018 timeline. You can watch. Oh, no. So you stop at the first one.
And
it's
then
like, then you got to erase your memory. You got, like, you never seen the second Halloween. And then it picks right up from the one that we watched.
I don't watch Halloween shit. I don't like scary shit. I'll tell you what ruined me was The Conjuring.
Now, that was frightening.
That was the last fucking time. I kicked that chair in front of us and said, fuck, real loud, and that was fucking it. And then the girl in front of me looks at me, and she goes, have you seen this before? Well, fuck no. Do you think I'd come in here and watch this thing twice?
I knew it was coming. So I guess it was 2018 that the new Halloween came out.
Okay.
And then that's the Rob Zombies. They're all by themselves. Now, if you just want to watch all of them, I don't remember half this shit. Halloween White Ghost.
They got people that watch that shit. They don't pay a lot of money to make them. I bet there's a big profit margin in horror movies.
What do you mean, profit margin?
Horror movies are like pornos. There's not really a big storyline behind them. You know what's going to fucking happen. They just get straight to the fucking killing.
A lot of people are going to die.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. You know, so that you know when, you know, the little school marm comes out and she's all, you know, hoo-hoo. Like in a porno, she's going to get screwed, but in a porn, and one of these, she's going to get killed.
And you know it, too.
Yep. Have you seen the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
I don't know that I
have. Those are fucking cheesy as shit.
See, that's the thing. I feel bad watching some of these movies that I think that people say are classics. And then I'm like, what the fuck?
We didn't have a whole lot of choices.
Yeah, but.
Have you ever seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
No.
It's fucking trash.
Really?
And it's got a huge cult following. It used to. I think all the cult followers are dead now.
No, I think it's still pretty big.
Yeah, it's trash.
But, I mean, like, you know, the blood and all that stuff is.
1974 is when Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original one, was built. I think someone said they filmed it in Childress, Texas, and I don't think that's true.
But what a fucking story, though. He's a fucking creepy guy, and then it's like a true story, isn't it?
I look on Wikipedia on it. I don't think so. I do not think that it's a. They say it's in Childress, Texas. I've heard that forever, but I don't know how true that is.
I think it's down in South Texas. Wait, does that say Graham?
Round Rock.
King County, Kingsland.
Yeah, it's down by Round Rock's down by Austin.
But I think they've always – no, I'm sorry. They say it's like Ed Gein. He was a Minnesota guy that was doing this shit. He'd kill his ladies and then, like, skin them. I think the scariest thing is The Haunting of Hill House.
I haven't watched it, and I won't watch it.
That's like fucking 10 episodes of just – But it's like, it's not like, I mean, definitely not gory in any way.
You know, your mom.
It is fucking creepy.
Your mom watches that shit when I go to casinos at night.
Really?
If I go to casino at nighttime, she'll be like, when are you going to go casino? I said, I'm going to go tonight or tomorrow, whatever it is. She goes, ooh, good. I'm going to watch a couple. And sometimes I get home and she's still watching. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? I couldn't watch that shit by myself. I don't watch scary movies because they creep me the fuck out.
So the house was in Kingsland.
Okay.
Wherever that is.
I don't even know if I've ever seen the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, probably for a time. I probably did when I was in high school or junior high, but I watched with one eye. I don't like any of that shit. That shit right there don't bother me as much, like Friday the 13th, Freddy's Night, what's the Nightmare on Elm Street, all that shit, because that's all fake shit. I know that shit. But when you start fucking dealing with spirits and the devil and shit, I don't like that shit.
Yeah,
that shit gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, that stuff scares me way more than...
See, it's based on a real chainsaw massacre in Childress, Texas. I just don't think that's true.
His crimes also occurred... What? This is bullshit.
That's what I said. Who is the real Texas chainsaw massacre?
I don't believe any of this.
See, I don't either.
But I'd always heard that it was based on Ed Gein. He was like, yeah, that guy right there. He was like in Wisconsin, lived with his mom for too long, original... guy, failure to launch, and like when they finally raided his house, it was just fucking bodies everywhere. He had them like on a tanning that you
see. They say Texas
tan on.
They say that Elm Street is also based on the same basic concept.
I've not watched enough of that to know.
Except you're going to sleep, and then you have to. You know, we had a real life one of them happen here.
What, a guy skinning his victims?
No, we had a guy that lived by our pheasant field in that house.
Oh, right.
In that house, and he killed his parents.
Yes, he did. Well, my great grandpappy was the district attorney on
right.
that. The story I got was that he was involved in child pornography.
He had all kinds of porn stuff.
That was taboo back in the day. It was still taboo.
Well, porn was taboo then.
Right. So the family as a whole wanted to off themselves. They wanted to get in a car, plug a gas hose into the windshield, and all die together. This guy didn't die.
I've never heard that version before. What I heard version was is he killed his parents.
That's not what I... Now...
You may be right.
Now, he did, after the deed was done, he did put them in the back of a car.
And drove to town.
Drive around with them for...
A week or two.
In the Texas heat.
Yes.
Like it was in summer. They said when they popped the trunk, it was just...
Maggots.
Goo.
I'm going to see if I can look that up.
What?
Their records on that.
I'm sure you could. I don't know what year it happened.
I can find that out. I bet I can get that at... Right at City Hall. I'm going to look that up and see if I can find that out. That would be an interesting thing to follow up on. Because supposedly they died right there at that...
In that barn.
In the chicken coop that they've redone.
Yeah.
The people that live there have no clue. I'm going to message them and let them know.
Listen, yeah. Did you know that somebody...
I think I told him that. He come into... Saw me in one time in court, and we visited for a long time. Really nice man. I think I said, asked him, say, you know, someone got killed at your house?
Jesse and I were talking about this last night. We were the weather out here. The weather was beautiful last night.
Uh huh.
Went outside after I got home.
You talk about how y'all weren't going to let the kids live with us if something happened to
y'all. Had a beer. Big harvest moon, gorgeous, and watched the. I was on Instagram, and the trailer for Halloween was on. And I said, you know, I wonder what it would be like to live in a small town. With a madman just running loose. Do you think, like, everybody is, like, on pins and needles all day long?
Motherfucker, somebody goes in somebody's backyard, they're going to get shot in a small town.
Not Michael Myers, Jeff. He's too good.
No.
But like, seriously. Like, if
we had that going on in our town, Everybody would be locked and loaded.
Say our community, you know, the small community that we have. Say it, you know, Knox and Haskell County. You lived through it in Wichita Falls when all those nurses were going missing.
Things were different then, though. We didn't have social media like we have now.
But was everybody freaking out?
Oh, everybody was on pins and needles, big time.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Like.
I was a 12-year-old fat-ass little kid, and I was worried about somebody stealing me. Fuck, they're going to get me, Mom.
Not his demographic, yeah. It turned out. But, I mean, seriously, like, how fucking amped up do you think everybody would be if, say, three people...
I was in Knox City when it happened here.
What?
We had some kids rolled a Suburban east of Knox City, and they fit the description of some people that cut a guy's head off and burned him under a bridge up around Vernon or Childress or somewhere. Fuck, they had everything going on.
Right, and I remember that.
We were at the lodge, and it was a bad deal. I mean, everybody was scared to death. They kept y'all at the Brandon Iron all night. They wouldn't let y'all leave until it turned out to be some other kids. So that was just one thing. Well, you throw social media on top of it now.
Right.
Fuck, everybody be like, I heard somebody's on 2nd Street. Heard the scanner go off. They're on 4th Street now. Everybody'd have a fucking gun. Everybody would.
But that's interesting because you don't see that in the scary movies. Like social media, word spreads so fast, everybody's a part of like the Knox County Crime Watch. That motherfucker would be blowing up. You know right where Michael Myers was. We could end the horror movie.
But in the movies, you've got that fucking person that don't have a clue what's going on.
Oh, that's true.
Kind of like Blake's buddy up near that old man. Hey, goddamn Facebook, how far does it go? Need to crash.
But that was the thing that I was thinking about last night. As we were sitting out enjoying our...
think about somebody coming and killing
tasty
you?
Beverage. Yeah, it's like, you know, what would this small community be like if everybody was, you know, if there was a madman on the loose?
We have some squirrel dogs out here. There ain't no doubt about that.
Was Ron? Ron probably wasn't worried at all.
Dad? No. Dad wasn't even scared of the dark.
When that serial killer was going around?
No. He'd go look for him.
Was your mom worried?
I don't remember her being worried as much. And we were little. I was I was probably... shit, I don't know how old I was. It was something everybody was concerned about. I was more concerned with the rapist when I was in college running around.
Maybe that's who I'm thinking about.
No, we had two different things. We did have a serial killer in Wichita Falls that killed three or four women when I was probably in 7th or 8th grade. And it was big, big breaking news all the time. The girl's name was Terry Gibbs, was a nurse, and she was a beautiful lady. And I'll never forget that. Her picture was everywhere because she was missing for a long time. Terry Gibbs, Knox City, Texas, if you need. That's all you need to put down. And she won't be on Wichita.
She was from Knox City?
I mean, Terry Gibbs, Wichita Falls. But she was a really pretty lady. And she was a nurse. She was a hottie. I think she partied and had a good time. But, yep, that Farron Waldrop, that's the guy that killed her. He was a preacher.
Really?
Yeah. They didn't arrest him until they arrested a guy, and they tried him, and he got away with it. But he didn't kill him. That guy was a preacher in Alney, Texas. And they went back and found him. He confessed all this stuff.
And he was a preacher?
Yep. He got arrested in...
he's on death row, too. Now, that's a fucking travesty.
He should have put his ass to sleep the next day.
He's... what's that say over there in that corner? First murder? Convicted in 1986.
Yeah, and he got out and was a preacher somewhere. Who the fuck hires a preacher that killed somebody?
May 6th, 1986. So you were older.
That's when that happened.
Waldrop's killing spree began in 1984 and lasted until mid-1986.
1984, I was a freshman in high school. I was a
1986.
Freshman. That's when I graduated. His first one was in 84. That's when all this shit started, was in
1984.
Oh. I couldn't remember how. I was a freshman in high school, I think, when all that was going on. But it was big news.
Is that Tina Kimbrough? Was she
I don't remember that name. There was like three bodies. Ellen Blau was one of them. They found her over by the Air Force base in a field.
Tony Gibbs, not Terry
Gibbs. Tony Gibbs, okay. She was a good-looking lady. See her, the nurse chick on the right?
Oh, yeah.
She was a pretty lady, 23 years old.
That's too bad. Terry Sims was 20, 25.
Ellen Blau 21. Was the other one that I remember.
He definitely had, I mean, he had a type.
Yeah, chicks.
Well, and they're all brunettes.
Yeah. Tony Gibbs was pretty hot. She was she partied a lot and stuff. That Gents Road is where my buddy Keith left the girl out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, really?
It was right there at the fucking same place.
How do you do that? Archer County?
Yep. It was right outside of Wichita Falls, like 3 miles.
8 total stab wounds, 3 on the back, 3 on the chest, 2 were defensive.
Yeah, he was a fucking weird fucker.
That is near the body. Police found an abandoned school bus.
Yes. I don't think it was a school bus. I think it was a...
That's what it says right there.
I think it was a old trolley in Wichita Falls trolley from back in the day, I think is what it is.
Murder likely conducted the attack. Jeez. There's a lot of ways that I don't want to die. Being stabbed to death is probably at the top.
Yeah. That Danny Laughlin guy was the most famous guy in Wichita Falls, though.
Who's Danny Laughlin?
He was the guy they thought killed her.
He was famous?
The most famous person in town. Everybody knew who the fuck his name was everywhere. Oh. Not infamous, I guess, would be the word.
Oh, Danny Laughlin was initially suspected Gibbs' murder because he often rode his motorcycle near
where she was killed.
He also failed a lie detector test. When did they throw out the lie detector test? Has it always been inadmissible in court?
I don't know, but a good friend of mine, dad, was a big-time police officer.
Right.
Way up in Wichita Falls, and he had to retire over this case.
Why?
Because he knew that Danny Laughlin guy did it, and he stuck on it, and they found out he did some stuff kind of, I think he was pretty hard cop on some things, and he ended up resigning or retiring over this case.
Ellen Blau on September 20th.
And she worked at that sub place I went to.
The abduction occurred as she was walking back to her vehicle, leaving her evening job as a waitress. Where was she a waitress?
She worked at Subs and Suds over on by the Air Force Base.
Killed by strangulation. She was on cold case file.
Yep.
Well, look at that.
That guy was a fucking nut job. But anyways, that case was huge when I was growing up. Then the rape dude when I was in college.
Oh.
And this guy raped like 21 women or something. He would go take people out of their fucking houses, little girls like 14 years old, and pull them out of their house. Anyways,
the guy, Richard Ramirez.
Yeah, I pulled into the Haystack Apartments on Taft Street one night about 11:30 or 12 o'clock. And I pulled in and got out of my car, and I was walking up, and all of a sudden, fucking poof, poof, police lights were all on me and shit.
Huh.
I'm like, can I help you guys? Put your hands up on your car. I was like, yes, sir. Boy, put my hands up. What the fuck did I do? What are you doing over here? I said, I'm going to see a friend of mine that lives here. Where do they live at? She lives right over there. Fucking checked my story, went and knocked on the door and stuff. And, well, we're looking for this guy that's the rapist. Well, you can go through my car. See, that's a old trolley. That's not an old school bus. But anyways, scared the shit out of me. But anyways, this rapist guy, they finally caught him. But he raped like 20-something girls.
There's too much shit on the internet now.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, there's fucking pictures of her. I mean, I don't enjoy that. I always thought that I would be a homicide. That was one thing I thought I'd like to do is be a homicide detective. Tell you what.
Dealt with a lot of tragedy.
God almighty. Like, you don't get a call that, hey, everything's working good. Nobody's decided to shoot each other. Nobody's decided that they wanted to, you know, abduct a 15-year-old girl and do terrible things.
Can you imagine being a homicide detective in Chicago right now? You get the same call every day.
Somebody shot.
You get there, and there's a grieving family there.
Yep.
No matter how bad Thug Nasty was that got shot, whether it's an innocent kid or an innocent person just standing there, or he's a piece of shit that's a bad guy getting shot by another bad guy, their family's still heartbroken.
Yeah.
And you deal with all the tragedy of the family being upset there, and then you ask around if anybody's seen nothing, and nobody's seen a fucking thing. I saw a stat in Chicago, like 7% of the murders are the only people they convict.
Really?
It's horrible. But it's bad people shooting bad people most of the time, other than do you feel sorry for when one gang member shoots another gang member for doing the same fucking thing?
No.
That's right. Nobody does. Now, you feel sorry for that kid that's behind him or the innocent person on the street bar. That's the people we feel sorry for.
They're the ones that get it up the noodle. The body snatcher. Is that what they called him?
I never heard him said that.
The body snatcher. Oof, that'd be fucking creepy.
But see, back then, that shit happened, but you didn't know about it. If it was happening in San Antonio, people in Wichita Falls didn't know about it.
Right.
If it was happening in San Angelo, we didn't know about it. That's why you all the time say, well, it's actually not as popular as it used to be. Well, back then, you only knew about it when it happened in your area.
Right.
So we all knew about this shit. I mean, it was big fucking news in Wichita Falls for a long time.
What do you think the number is? How many active serial killers are there in the United States?
What do you call a serial killer? Somebody that's killed more than one person? Or are you talking about somebody that's going tracking down people to kill people?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
I mean, it depends what you define that is. I bet you there's 1,000 people walking around that are killing people right now in this country, and they're all at fucking national parks.
Nine.
That's it, 9 of them.
But I don't know what the criteria is. This says 25 to 50.
I figured there'd be more than that. There's a lot of weird fuckers out there. Can you imagine waking up every day and your goal is just try to kill somebody? Mm-mm. And not get caught. The BTK guy in fucking Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah.
That dude was a fucking weird fucker.
Unsolved cases in 2020. At any one time, there are 25 to 50 active serial killers in the United States. Check out.
I mean, you got to wake up really fucking on a dark side to fucking want to just go kill random people. I can understand some people wanting to kill certain people. I mean, I understand that. I can understand where you'd get pissed off at somebody. I don't know why you do it. But I understand someone getting wronged by somebody enough that they want to kill somebody. Right. I do. I don't understand just randomly wanting to pull some chick off the street and kill her. And it's usually a woman that's the victim.
Most of the time.
You know, and a lot of them are prostitutes. So mm-hmm. Listen, don't be a prostitute in a national park. That you nail your ass for that.
You need to watch The Sons of Sam on Netflix.
I
brilliant
think I did.
Documentary.
I think I've seen it.
Brilliant.
Speaking of brilliant documentaries on Netflix, telling you right now, go watch the story of what's it called? This the Lynyrd Skynyrd one.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
God Almighty, boy, it's great. It's something he says in the song.
Freebird.
Yeah,
Freebird.
Yeah, what is that? What is the? God dang it!
If I leave here tomorrow.
If I leave here tomorrow is the name of that show. It is a great, great story on. I'm telling you what, Netflix has hit a home run. The Netflix story on Motley Crue was very good.
Yeah, but that was more
that
of
was
a
movie.
Right.
The documentary on Lynyrd Skynyrd's good. And the documentary on ZZ Top was really good.
Yeah, ZZ Top's not my style.
To me, I'm a Texas kid. I grew up at that time, so it was interesting. But
that's
the best one so far that they've done. And I'll tell you something I watched at Howis the other night. I watched that story on Freddie Mercury. That's really a good movie.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes. Very good root movie, and I'm not a Queen fan by any means, but it was really a good. I like seeing how things play out in people's lives.
Now, what happened with Lynyrd Skynyrd? They all knew each other.
Kids grew up in Jacksonville, Texas, together. Some redneck kids, and kind of just like everything else, the kind of band gets thrown together. That kid wrote Freebird when he was 17 fucking years old. The music to that,
really?
Yes,
the music or the lyrics?
The music and the lyrics. I'm assuming. That is a what a great, great story. And God damn it, Ronnie Van Zant, that was the guy's name. If he would, he was more influential in music than Kurt Cobain was.
How do you figure?
There's no telling what they would have done if he would have stayed around. They had so many hits.
I mean, you could say that about Kurt Cobain.
Kurt Cobain was very good too, both of them. But I think that he was more influential.
Kurt Cobain started the grunge movement.
He fucking made Southern Rock.
No, that's true, too.
Very, very, very good. What the country music today is Southern Rock, a lot of it.
Mm.
And I don't listen to hardly any country music nowadays.
I don't know. It's not Southern Rock. It's more like a rap
that
type
was,
deal.
That was blues, country music,
well,
and rock
doubt.
And roll
he's
together.
Extremely talented.
Oh, he was great. I mean, the music they made, and they would write, and just like everything else, they were clouded by drugs and all that other shit.
They did go down that
path.
Oh,
fuck, all of them do. Every band does. But, you know, that plane crash is really crazy, and they talk about the guys that survived that plane crash.
Were they high?
Oh, I'm sure probably were.
No, the pilots. Like,
no,
like it, was
no.
It operator error?
Yeah, the plane was having mechanical problems before they took off.
Oh.
And Ronnie Van Zant said, come on, man, if it's our time to go, it's our time to go. If,
motherfucker, you know, be careful. Be careful going down that rabbit hole.
And the pilot told him, he said, listen, guys, we're going to go down getting the flight deal, and they were trying to make it to the airport. And the people at the front of the plane all died, and the people in the back. But Ronnie smiled, went and sat at the front, said no big deal at all, wasn't worried about it.
He sat on the front as the plane was going down?
They went to take seats, and the people in the back of the plane lived. The people in the front, the two pilots died, Ronnie Van Zant died, the brother and sister, the guitar player, and another guy died, or her sister. She was a singer. Her brother was a guitar player. He died. I think that was the three members of the band that died.
So now I know nothing about Lynyrd Skynyrd. I don't know the names, obviously. But
Ronnie Van Zant was the lead singer. He's, if you pull up that third picture.
And he's the writer also?
He wrote all their music. He was the genius behind Lynyrd Skynyrd. Have you heard any new Lynyrd Skynyrd hits since he's been dead? No.
No, but, you know, you figure.
He was the guy.
Why does everybody from the 70s look like Charles Manson?
Every one of them. That was their. If you were in a band, that's what you did. The hippie movement.
He was the music genius. And he wrote Freebird at 17. Look at him. He's got a tattoo.
No, actually, I think the guy on the back left is the one that wrote the music for Freebird.
Oh.
I think, or the one on the right. No, the one on the right is the weird dude. He's a yuppie yogurt eater, the one on the right. He's still alive.
No, the guy behind him. Oh,
the Charles Manson.
Him.
The Charles Manson looking dude is an ex-Marine.
Really?
Yeah, and he is was a...
Vietnam?
I'm assuming so. He did not eat any meat, and he still don't. He's still alive. The kid in the front right there is Stephen Gaines, I think. No, on the right there. That's Stephen Gaines. Him and his sister died. She was a singer and him. He come to the band. He was 17 or 18 years old, and they went on somewhere, and they said, well, you got to hear my cousin. He plays guitar. And one guy said, we hear that shit all the time, you know.
Right.
And they invited him. He come to a concert, and he brought his guitar because he was fixing to play a gig somewhere. And he come up on stage, and he played Freebird, and they said he didn't miss a lick. And they said, fucking, you're in the band now. But the guy on the right had the fucked up hair. His hair was weird, but he's alive still. I don't think, there's only two of them that are still alive. Ronnie Van Zant's brother, the one on the left there, is still alive, and the one on the right
is still alive. Is that
Steve? I think so, and the one on the right is still alive, too.
Steve Van Zant, right?
There's two brothers. Not the Steve Van Zant that was in Bruce Springsteen in The Sopranos. Different.
Yeah. Oh. Well, how cool would that have been?
But they were, I'm telling you, a great, great band. I mean, they had, like, Curtis Lowe, what a great tune. Fucking Mr. Breeze. Great music. I've always been a Lynyrd Skynyrd fan, but I mean, just what? And that's the plane that they crashed in. But they had it had engine problems before, and they were like, "Well, can we fly on one engine?" Obviously not.
Hey, man, if it's our time to go.
But they showed the neighborhood they grew up. They were just poor white kids that had fun. If you watch the original fucking Bad News Bears,
mm-hmm.
Kelly and Bad News Bears could have been a member of Lynyrd Skynyrd, probably.
Really?
Yeah. They said Ronnie Van Zant was a real good athlete.
Did they have any number one hits?
I'm sure they did.
You think so?
I can't imagine that Freebird wasn't a number one hit.
Charts, peak position, but that's their records. Let's see here, Billboard.com. What is the greatest Lynyrd Skynyrd song?
Probably Freebird.
You think so?
I would think so.
More so than
Simple Man was a great song. I mean, they've had a lot of good hits. Sweet Home Alabama,
Traveling Man.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, you do.
I don't think I know.
747 coming out of the sky.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I think that's Traveling Man.
I don't think that's it.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Well, it might not be.
I don't know. Anyways, they had a lot of really good, good, good songs. Fighting with the MCA is a great song of theirs. They had a lot of good music. Their albums were good.
Not a single one.
I'll be damned.
Biggest one was Sweet Home Alabama. Went to number 8.
Well, they were very, 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 very popular. They opened for Rolling Stones in England, maybe. And the rules were, and Rolling Stones did, they had a tongue that went out in the crowd.
Right.
And that was Mick Jagger's rules. You're not allowed to go there. Only the Stones can play out there.
Did they go
And they there? Were finishing up. They only got to play like 45 minutes. And like for them, that was like 5 songs. Because, you know, right. Freebird goes for fucking forever. He said when they first played it, it was a 5-minute song. And then it was an 8-minute song. And then a 10-minute. So by the time we got done, we were playing 20 minutes.
In Freaks and Geeks, it's the laser shows that was popular back in the 80s?
Yeah. No, 70s.
70s?
Yeah.
If you get Freebird on, you got like 6 minutes to make out with your chick at the laser show.
That's what Bill the Stud said.
That's what old Bill the Stud, he wanted to do.
That was a funny fucking series. Anyways, they opened for the Stones wherever they were at, and Ronnie Van Zant pushed the guitar players out there on Freebird, and they played on the tongue. So fucking Mick Jagger was pissed off. But, man, them fucking British people were going fucking crazy.
Really?
And they talked about the Confederate flag, you know, and then one guy said, we weren't racist ever. We had black friends. We grew up with black people. He said, we weren't racist. That's just part of the South.
That's what every racist says.
But he said, we grew up in the South, and that was just a Southern thing.
I'm not racist. I got a color TV.
Yeah. 4 white tires.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that's, you know, they don't have that in their show now when they play, but they said that was part of who we were.
They're still playing?
Yeah.
Who's playing? How's Lynyrd Skynyrd still playing? The guy's dead.
They've been playing off and on for years.
The remaining members?
And stuff, yeah.
That's not the same.
Let me tell you, no, it's not. And the guy that was talking, he said, why can't I sing the songs? We got the same mom, the same dad, the same DNA, because you're not Ronnie Van Zant.
I don't even know that I'd. How can he pack a stadium to where people would want to go see him?
Where do you think they're playing at?
Old folks?
Where would you think?
Branson, Missouri.
No, casinos and shit. Just like every old rock and roll club plays still now.
In a way, is this not the way that you would like to go out?
On a plane crash? No.
No, listen. All these bands, they're all firing on different cylinders. Is this not the perfect way, if you're at the band, to go out on the top of your game? Every band member says it. It's better to burn out than it is to fade away. Especially back in those days. I can't remember who said that, but
it's a song too. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. You know.
I mean, let's say Lynyrd Skynyrd doesn't die in the plane accident.
Then they're playing casinos. As
are they Lynyrd? Are they Lynyrd Skynyrd?
Oh, the today? Rolling Stones are still playing.
Yeah, but. I don't.
Skynyrd was big.
I don't think of the Rolling Stones as being a very big band anymore.
No, I don't either. But they still.
I think if you hang around too. I don't think of anything as a Rolling Stones. I think if you hang around too long, you're just that old band that's hanging on to their glory days.
And there's a lot of them out there right now. Hell, there was a tour. Me and Michelle were going to go to a concert in August. It was going to be Motley Crue, Def Leppard. All has-beens. They ain't playing no new music. But if you went there and you played new music, everybody'd be fucking pissed.
Oh, yeah.
We want to hear the shit that we grew up listening to that was hits.
Listen, play Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Yes.
And fucking get off the stage.
Old bands don't know how to retire. They don't. But now, like old country music guys, they put new music out.
Right.
When's the last time that you heard of a Motley Crue new song? Van Halen put out some new music the last 10 years. It wasn't very popular.
Right. Well, I think people just you outlive your
plus your audience.
And is that hard on them?
I'm 53 years old. There's people that like Lynyrd Skynyrd that are 20 years older than me. How many 70-year-olds want to go to a rock concert?
Yeah.
I mean, it just don't happen.
They had, I think, maybe 10 years ago or so.
I mean, they're not. I mean, fuck, look at the members. There's 37 people over there now. They're not. It's like AC/DC still going. You know?
Are they?
Yeah, they're still fucking doing it. I think they've got new hips and new people all the time.
But, I mean, and why? So, what did everybody in Lynyrd Skynyrd do? There's like eight of them. There's not that many instruments to play.
They all had instruments they played. They had a keyboard guy there. The bandman, the drummer, come back and played He played Freebird on a piano, and they're like, motherfucker, he can play that good. So they put a piano in it. I mean.
Is it just one episode? It's just like a movie?
It's just one. It's a movie. One deal. It's good.
I might try to do that then.
It is a very, very good documentary. I highly recommend it to anyone that likes history and music.
I don't have time for a full series.
No, it's a.
But yeah, I got 90 minutes.
I'm the same way. I haven't started anything Netflix since Dove season started. But other than me and mom watched that Sunday morning before we watched football.
Really?
I was like, let's watch this and shit. I didn't even know it was about it. And we watched it. We was like, damn, that is good. I mean, it's really good. It's so good that when mom gets up to do something, she says, pause that for a minute.
Yeah.
That's how good it was.
Do they say how they came up with the name?
Yeah. Lynyrd Skynyrd. Not Lynyrd Skynyrd like they are. Lynyrd, L-E-O-N-A-R-D, Skynyrd, S-K-I-N-A-R-D, was every time they had a teacher at school that was a real dickhead. Yeah. But Lynyrd Skynyrd was a ghost. And one guy, every time, like the door would just open up by the wind, he goes, there's Lynyrd Skynyrd.
There's Lynyrd.
Something would fall over, Lynyrd Skynyrd. And it was kind of a saying. And then one of the kids, while he's still in school, they go to school, and he comes back. He said, yeah, my coach, Coach Lynyrd Skynyrd. And he's like, Lynyrd Skynyrd. So he said, they're talking about a band. He goes, fucking Lynyrd Skynyrd. And that's where they come up with the name Lynyrd Skynyrd.
All from that.
Yeah. And that's how it started. And they this is really interesting, too. They lived in Jacksonville, Florida. And I can't remember where. I did not pay attention to enough details, but they had somewhere they had a cabin in the woods, and that's where they'd done their first three albums.
Really?
They would go there and park, and he said, we had to start making someone stay there because someone would break in and steal our amps and shit. And it was just a cement slab by a river, and they had an old cabin on it, and that's where they'd done all their music.
That's crazy.
They cut all their music, and their best albums were cut right there.
And they did all of them there?
They that's where they did it. And then they would go to Muscle Shoals, Alabama, to that famous studio there with a guy, and that's where they did it. The third album, they went to L.A., and they didn't like it, and then they went back to Muscle Shoals, I believe.
But now let me ask you this also. So on the flip side of dying early, do you think that that helped the legend of Lynyrd Skynyrd? Do you think that helped their music?
No, I think it's like Buddy Holly. They don't tell them what they would have accomplished if it wouldn't have been for that.
There's no telling.
They were big when they died. I mean, it was a big, big, big thing. It would have been the same as any other huge rock and roll band at that time. Bands were different than now. Like, I don't even know the name of a new band right now.
I don't think there are any.
Okay, let's say their name is fucking Slayer.
And One Direction.
One Direction, whoever the fuck that is. If they got killed in a plane crash today, I wouldn't. But when Lynyrd Skynyrd did, it was breaking news all over the radio, like when Elvis died or when John Lennon got shot. Because there wasn't a lot of celebrities, and so you had very few that you looked up to or that you really did. And they were a stadium band. They played fairs and stuff like that, but they got to where they were playing huge crowds at outdoor stadiums and shit.
Who do you think was bigger? Do you think Hendrix was bigger, or do you think Lynyrd Skynyrd had a bigger following?
I think Lynyrd Skynyrd, when they died, were probably as big as Hendrix. But really? Hendrix probably, but they were
at both of their times of death.
I think they were probably because they touched a. They were bigger in the South. I don't know about Jimi Hendrix. I wasn't alive when he. I don't remember. But Lynyrd Skynyrd was big, and they're still. I mean, you still see Lynyrd Skynyrd shit now. You don't see Jimi Hendrix shit nowhere.
Yeah, you do. You see it everywhere.
Fuck. But they were influenced by Jimi Hendrix.
Really?
Yeah. One of them had a guitar or something that was Jimi Hendrix's.
Have you heard the when he
net plays, worth? He was worth $150,000 when he died.
Where does it say that?
Right there on the net worth on the bottom on the right.
Oh, it was my God.
He's worth $150,000 fucking dollars.
Now we were talking about this the other day. I think Red Fox. Let's see what his net worth was. I think we've already gone.
We were listening to Red Fox scouting yesterday. Goddamn, he was funny as hell. 3-point film.
Negative. Negative. $300,000. No, that's million.
$3.5 million negative.
I told you he was fucking broke, and that's why he had a heart attack.
Well, I said his deal of being broke is different than ours. He owed a bunch of people money, but he wasn't broke.
He loved the Chinese women.
Yeah, he did. He played Keno.
Keno?
That was his game in Vegas.
John Elroy Sanford, who was widely known by his professional name, Red Fox, Fox had a whopping net worth of $11 million, which soon sank to negative $3.5 million.
He was a funny son of a bitch, I'm telling you right now. One of the funniest people on TV ever.
He's Ron Stanfield.
My dad and him had a lot of my dad and him are a lot alike. They sure were. Selfish. Say what was on their mind and wasn't politically correct.
I wonder how... Bad investments? Wonder what it was.
I owed IRS and all kinds of shit. Just lived way above his means. He owed $3.5 million in taxes.
Oh.
See, he wasn't living like waiting from the cutoff his electricity and shit. He just wasn't paying Uncle Sam.
So, I mean, that who gets that bill? His kids?
No. They just go to his estate.
That fucks his kids. If they were going to have anything.
I have no clue about all that. But he was a funny guy. But anyways, I would highly recommend the Netflix, that show. That is a really, the Lynyrd Skynyrd is a good show.
What a time to be alive back in the day. The
world was a lot different back then.
When I think music was different back then.
It was a big part. You turned on the radio. That's all you'd listen to is the radio. Even at home.
Right.
The radio was a big majority of people's homes. And I'm not talking about back in 1940s when that's all you had. I'm talking about even when we had TV. When I was a kid in the 70s, we didn't watch TV much because you had three channels.
Yeah.
I mean, my parents were divorced, so I watched Monday Night Football by myself every Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my favorite night to watch TV, and I would watch till halftime, and my mom would usually make me go to bed. Damn, and it came on at 8 o'clock back then.
Poof.
And but I would watch Monday Night Football by myself a lot of nights, but there wasn't that much stuff on TV. And certain TVs, every show had its own fucking sound.
Mm-hmm.
MASH, whatever it was, and Hawaii Five-0 would come on, it'd be time to go to bed.
Yeah.
You'd hear that fucking theme song for Hawaii Five-0, and it was time to go get in bed.
Another night.
But the TV wasn't as... But we listened to radio a lot. I remember a lot of times in the house, my mom would have the radio on. And the radios would have these contests and these jingles games that, you know, we're going to give away a $5 bill, a $20 bill, and a $100 bill, but you got to pick the serial number on it. So, man, everybody had a fucking piece of pad and paper, and they'd come on every hour. We're playing for the $100 bill now, and it'd be like GX3587, and then they'd gotten to 87, but it was the last digit, and they're like, 3. No, gosh almighty. You know, and then they try to call back, but the ninth caller, and everybody would call in. But everybody knew what was going on. That was normal. So music was a big part of it. We didn't have VCRs. If you watched a movie, you went to the movies, or it was a TV movie. That was it. And it was a treat for shows to come on, like The Wizard of Oz would come on twice a year.
You got to make sure you're watching it.
And everybody would look forward to it. And the Christmas shows, when I was a little kid, man, everybody watched the Christmas series. Ooh, tonight Charlie Brown's on. But yeah. that was just, life was so much simpler then.
Which wife do you think gets pissed off the most? The first wife, who was married to him 1948 to 1951. So that's like before his fame.
Yes.
Or the middle wife, 1956, 1975, he's just getting in his fame. Or the wife, 1976 to 1981, he's kind of at the top of his game right there.
And then Kaho Cho, he was only married to for a year.
And then he had the big one. That's what's ironic about the whole thing. That whole show, he said he was having the big one.
See, pop on Kaho Cho and see what she looks like.
I bet I know. Yoko Ono. Oh, no. That's not at all who I thought.
No. No, good for him. Good for old Fred.
Look at that old pimp suit he's got right there.
He was a player.
Just a fucking pimp suit and a half.
If y'all have never seen Sanford and Son, all you young people, you need to look it up. Sanford and Son, you will laugh your ass off.
It's the best.
Sanford and Son, and I like Sanford and Son more than I did All in the Family, but All in the Family was too. They're not politically correct. Good shows.
Now that's more kind of what I was thinking of. The other one. Look at that fucking
gold chain.
God almighty. Come on, Red.
Very influential man. You know, he held out on NBC and got a big check out of him. And I remember all the details on it, but he battled with him a big time on that show.
Well, I mean, he knew what he had.
You know, I had a guy in last night in the kitchen. What time is it right now? We got dinner coming.
30 minutes.
We got 30 minutes. Had a guy come in last night and was talking to me in the at dinner, after dinner, after you'd left last night. And we were talking about duck hunting in Stuttgart. And he said he used to hunt in Stuttgart every year, and he hadn't hunted there in a long time. But he would go and hunt. Look at that suit. He's wearing fucking glasses. Look at that shit. That
fucking bug-eyed motherfucker. When he gets the glasses in San Francisco, that's the best part of that show.
But he was talking about hunting in Stuttgart. And he hadn't been since 2015. I said, boy, it sure has changed a lot since 15. But we were talking about the things that have changed the hunting.
Yeah.
And The mud boat motors and the fucking Onyx is really killing the Arkansas hunting, unless you're on private places.
Just because everybody can get everywhere.
Yeah, I told him, you can go everywhere. There's no secret places to go to. There's no birds don't get no rest anymore. If it's a hole back in there and somebody get in, they're going to get in there.
He married two black chicks and two Chinese chicks.
Well, he was open-minded. Good for Red.
Oh, Red. God love. I mean, I can see. We've talked about that on the podcast. Like, everybody can get everywhere now. There's no hidden secrets anymore. There's nowhere for the ducks to rest.
No.
Anymore.
Nowhere at all.
And I mean, it's just, they can get to any nook, any cranny. And if, you know, 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, the ducks, they had these places that they could go hide and keep the pressure down. But it's not there anymore.
I looked at the weather this morning, which I do every day.
We need some rain. Haven't said that in a while, and I think that's why we're so dry.
Lord, please bring us some rain. Next Thursday and Friday, we got good chances of rain.
Good.
And the highs are going to be in the 70s next Wednesday, which is still hot for this time of year for a cold front, but it's still better than what it was. Carrot River, Saskatchewan.
Yep.
66 freaking degrees in 10 days. Into October, and they haven't even had a freeze up there yet.
Into September.
No, it's into October.
Oh, into. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because October is... On Friday, that's the day y'all fly out, right?
Yeah.
It's 66 and 49. They have not even had a freeze in September in Carrot River. That's killing us. I talked to someone up in Oklahoma today, and I can't remember who it was on the phone this morning. Might have been Matt. And we were talking about it looks like it's the start of a drought again.
I think so.
It is. The weather patterns are bad, so hopefully that'll change.
But, I mean, all it takes
– one good weekend.
I think we're still wet enough right now. If we got a big rain, we wouldn't be starting from zero.
Right. But boy, we're going to be close to zero if it don't rain in the next month. We've got to have some October rains. So I hope the young man that we had on the other day,
yeah,
can't remember his name. God dang it, Daniel, is right, and I hope it does have a big violent thunderstorms all through October. Anyways, we appreciate y'all listening. God bless y'all. Have a great week.
It's lunchtime.
Yes, it is. Thank y'all. Good night.
All right, everybody, thank you for listening. Thank you to our sponsors, Shin Gear Waiters, Eyesight Drone Service, Bangtail Whiskey, Coos Creek Retrievers, Stanfield Hunting Outfitters, Gun Dog Outdoors, Looking Glass Duck Club Podcast, Lucky Duck, Dirty Duck Coffee, Boss Shot Shells, Dive Bomb Industries, and Pacific Calls.